WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the bye week around here, which gives me a little chance to stretch out. The election's over. The Ravens are 6-3. Pumpkins in season, all that's happening. And we have souped up our website at BaltimorePositive.com. And this guy's our chief digital strategist. He calls himself a chief digital officer. That's CDO. Some people don't know what that is, but he helps me with things around here. He is web connection outsourced chief digital officer. Says so on a screen right behind him. But sometimes, my pal, we just get together and talk about ways to make the world a better place. How about that election, Mike Rosenfeld? How about that, huh?
Well, as we're talking, there's still some things that need to be declared, so it's too early to tell. But
I'm calling the Eastern Shore. I'm looking for some votes for Heather over there. Can you help me with some votes over there?
right. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it unfolded the way everyone expected it would. So we'll see if that carries forward. But could be some drama over the next couple weeks, runoffs and things like that, to see how things are going to
Well, I
shake
think
out.
here's the weird part, and the best guest to have on be Todd Shuler, right? And Johnny O to some degree, because they both won and lost elections on like literally hand-counted ballots where they're sitting there all day and making sure that nobody's trying to screw them and like all that, right? We have forever had sanctity, free and fair elections, right? Right? That's what Don Mueller taught me in my history class back in the day. And this notion that the worst thing that ever happened was Donald Trump for American politics. Like, I haven't tweeted that out yet, but I'm going to say that because the notion that free and fair elections, this myth that all of one party is checking ballots or the other, or that you could call the Georgia election board and say, I need to find 11,000 votes, and that you would not go to jail for that. The fact that he's not in jail is amazing. The fact that he was out politicking 5 days ago, amazing. Don't know what's going to happen in Arizona. By the time you listen to this, who knows? But the dirtification of our country, the crime of all crimes, is the mind crime to believe our elections aren't fair.
It is. Did you see Tim Ryan concede?
Yes.
Okay.
Which saddened me because the other guy's a joker, but it is what it is. They spent a
Right.
lot of money getting J.D. Vance elected in the state of Ohio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his. If for those of you who hadn't seen it, I recommend that you see it. That's the way it should be done, whether you're a Republican or Democrat.
Well, Dan Cox is still running, as like looking for votes and like, but we knew that about him to begin with. He had a Trump sign on his lawn.
Right. I've only heard at this point one person rattling and making a lot of noise about fair and things being stolen, and that's Carrie Lake in Arizona, and it's not even over yet.
If it wins, it wasn't rigged. It's
Well, yeah.
only rigged if she loses, right? Right.
I think she said that she would happily accept victory if she once she wins.
I will
But that,
happily submit that she's batshit, and I've watched that election. So
but I guess my point is, so far, and it's
she
we're
says she's
only,
going to fix journalists too in Arizona.
yeah,
She's going to fix them.
right.
Fix them.
So
Can you imagine running on a platform of fixing journalists? Can you imagine that?
I'm
Are you
trying
in
to
Saudi
figure out
Arabia?
who
Where are you? What part of Russia are you from?
I'm trying to figure out who her equivalent in Baltimore media is. Deborah Wiener, is that, I mean,
I don't know.
Who is Carrie Lake, like, as far as a TV personality? But I guess my point is that there's not been a lot of this election was stolen on either side so far, which I think is healthy.
Because it's not.
Oh, I understand that, but to be able to say that it is was a thing. To be able to say that it
Well,
was
for
the
stupid
rage
people
of
to
Atlanta.
believe that, for conspiracy. That, by the way, I tweeted last week, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a lie. It's
Right.
a lie. There's
Right.
a reason it's a conspiracy theory. It has no basis of truth to support it. Because if it did, it would be a truth and not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's interesting times, but based upon how I feel 12 hours after this election, as far as the negative vibe and things being stolen, it feels a little bit better and healthier for the country, but
Well,
my
you live
fingers
in
are
Maryland,
crossed.
not Arizona, though, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about it. I'm talking about the country. I mean, I've been watching the national results come in and see where things are trending. While we were talking, I just got a text that said that they just called the vote in Kentucky for whether Kentucky should make it constitutional that you can't get an abortion, and that failed, just like it did in Kansas. And it said three other states. And Kentucky, last time I checked, was a pretty conservative state. So, from an abortion standpoint, it's just more of the people saying this is not what we want. So that was kind of interesting as well. That literally just
Well, that's what an
came across.
election's for, right? Is for people to say this is what we want. I mean, we decided 65% strong we wanted weed here, right?
Yes, that's what
How
I
about
understood.
that, dude? I go into my polling place and I got the paper ballot because I wanted to feel old school. I wanted to feel like I was taking the Iowa test. I wanted to fill it in. It wasn't number two pencil,
The
but it
fact you
was.
said Iowa test really puts that's a throwback statement. I remember the Iowa tests.
And then there were the California test after that, but nonetheless. I did well on the math, and then I discovered algebra, and it all went downhill. But if I showed you my Iowa test scores in 1976, you'd think you're talking to a genius right now. Like,
Congratulations on
no,
those
yeah, I
Iowa
did
test
well on those
results.
tests, man. I'm still bragging on those 76 Iowa tests, buddy. 99 percentiles, 99 percentile. There was no 100.
I must have done average because I don't remember doing
Dude,
well on
mine's
the
framed it
Iowa
on the
test.
wall behind me, so you
Yeah,
don't
I
have to
hear
tell me. I don't
you.
even know
I
where I
hear
was going with this. I had a bit about I don't even know what the heck I
Damn,
was.
Iowa test
See, you
distraction.
screwed me up
That's
with the Iowa tests.
Look, you put it, you and me in a
Oh, I so
room.
I went in. I went into. I went into. I had my ballot, right? And they're big, oversized ballots in case, because I used to help my mother. I used to, help my mother with her thing because she couldn't see well, right? So I would always go to the ballot with her and talk to her and say which candidate you want. Just take the Democrat. Okay, Mom, whatever you want me to do. So I get the question four, and I had to like, I'm looking at a three, I'm thinking, I'm sitting here in the elementary school, right? Like hanging out, and I got my pen and I'm like, are they really asking me if I'm going to make weed legal? I mean, is that like a thing? Did I live long enough for this to come onto a ballot? For all the effed up stuff that's ever gone on and all the weed I ever smelled at the Capitol Center in 1980, 81, 82, 83, and was like, what is that? And the first time I smelled weed in my life, and I remember it vividly, 33rd Street Memorial Stadium. It was the night before the 76 election. It was the night before Jimmy Carter got elected. And the Houston Oilers played the Colts on Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell was out there. And I was 8 years old. And I like smelled weed. And I said to my dad, what is that? Like, oh, don't worry about that, son. One day you'll vote to make it legal.
That's right. Who would have thought
Like,
it? You know what's messed up?
dude, when you consider every movie we ever saw in the 70s, whether it's Cheech and Chong, every movie where somebody was smoking a J or Paul Simon was writing about late in the evening or whatever weed reference there would be to the Black Crowes, to Paul McCartney getting busted with weed going into Japan in 1980, Saturday Night Live skit type stuff. All these years later, the fact that I'm sitting there with the power of the people. In my hand on a real ballot to make weed legal. I'm like, what country we live in America, United States of America, we live in.
Well, what's crazy is the first time I remember smelling it was also at Memorial Stadium,
Same
also
night.
for a Colt game, upper deck, and
Why did Colts fans smoke weed and Orioles fans not? I don't like, I never, ever, 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 ever smelled weed in an Oriole game. And I went to 1,000 Oriole games. I went to a couple dozen Colts games, and it's etched in my mind that weed was a part of the aroma. It was right there with the grass and the sound of the band.
Well, one of two things likely. One is the personality of the football a fan is different, and the other is maybe it was to change, not make them think about how cold they were versus an Oriole game, which is a little bit more comfortable.
See, my dad had a hot toddy for that. My dad had a little flask for that.
Right. So, I mean,
But
that's
my
just
dad didn't do the research and realizing that alcohol actually lowers your body temperature. But you couldn't
right.
tell him that in 1976. He knew everything.
Well, here's what I find interesting. I'm not in the world of politics, as you know. I'm more of a kind of a more into the psychology of people. I find it interesting. You talk about that. You talk about legalization of medical cannabis and then recreational cannabis. And then I equate that to the gambling. You know, can we gamble in the state? And both of those strategies follow the same playbook. If you remember, with gambling, it's just machines. It's just machines. No table games. They let you pass the machines. And once you get your meat hooks into the machines, you know you're going to double back and get your table games. And not that I'm opposed to that. I'm just saying that's what happened. Same with, and this is the playbook they run across the country. And then it's just recreational. It's for those people who have legitimate medical problems. We're going to write them prescriptions. They're going to be able to go to a pharmacy. We call them a dispensary. And you'll be able to get your medicine, which I have no problem with. And then they double back and they say, hey, now that our meat hooks are in it, let's do it recreationally. Personally, I have no problem with any of it being legal.
Could you have convinced the 35-year-old version of you or the 30-year-old version of you down at Meriwether Post at a Pearl Jam show where everybody's blowing weed, right? Like that one day it would be legal here. I guess maybe when I went to Colorado and saw the little green plus signs everywhere 10 years ago, I thought, well, it's coming. But the reality of having the power to vote and how many people, I saw all sorts of things on Twitter. Some people went into a polling facility and just said, I'm only here to vote for weed and walk out. Right. I don't like politicians. I don't like politics. I'm a libertarian, independently, whatever, living in the woods. It is amazing that adding that to the ballot, and I talked to everybody in this state about it, and it's part of what I do, it was going to bring out younger voters and bring out voters who are not politically aligned, but only aligned on that issue that they've waited their whole life to vote on it.
Right. I mean, that's interesting. I never heard that, but that makes perfect sense. You know, I told the story recently. You talk about, did I ever think that it would be on the ballot? And I didn't. But I will share an experience I had while I was at college in Maryland. The student body used to bring in speakers, and I went to school in the 80s. So that was during the Reagan administration when it was.
Just say no.
You know, it's funny when I retold the story, I said, don't say no, but it's just say no.
Just say no. That was the campaign.
And the speakers, it was the great marijuana debate. And the speakers on one side, there was only four. On the, hey, just say no side was Curtis Sliwa, who is the founder of the Guardian Angels. And his also on his side was someone from the Food and Drug Administration in the Reagan administration. That was on one side. On the other side was Abby Hoffman and Timothy Leary.
I was going to say Timothy Leary. I should have guessed that out loud.
Oh, and that was on the other side. And you know, all of these people are players. It was a respectful debate. Of course, it was college students. The college students were geared towards the Timothy Leary and Abby Hoffman side. But it was Timothy Leary who had the line of the night, where he said he made the point that the great hypocrisy of the government allowing and collecting taxes on tobacco and alcohol, and how many people that has killed, in the United States. And he said, in the history of marijuana, there's been three deaths. He said, the first death was Jimmy and Johnny got stoned, went in the kitchen, made five dozen cookies, and they ate themselves to death. Tells the second person who died was Mike. Mike was out with his friends. They were sitting, they were watching a comedy movie, and he laughed himself to death. And he said, and the third one was Janie and Mitchell, a couple, they just got married, they went on their honeymoon, they smoked a joint, and they screwed themselves to death. Those are the three deaths that have ever been attributed to marijuana. And of course, he didn't use screw, but everyone, was loving the story and went wild. It was highly entertaining. But if you think about it, and you think about even, who would have thought then to, I have no idea what a pack of cigarettes costs. is it $20 when it used to be? Remember the vending machines where you put things in? I never smoked, but you pull a lever and a pack would drop out. I mean, now you can't do that unless you have a credit card and you tap your credit card because it's so expensive. But, you know, it's just amazing how things, you know, we evolve. I love that they ask the people. I think the politicians are afraid to take a stance. So it's easier for them to say, let's just put it on the ballot and let the people decide instead of them passing the laws unilaterally. But I'm not disappointed with the evolution of that. I'm not sure about the gambling. I'm not a gambler, but I'm like, hey, do your thing as long as it's you're able to afford your losses. But just very interesting.
It always comes back with you, Mike Rosenfeld, to rock and roll. And this is Roger Daltrey here. It's one of my favorite belt buckles that I have. As you can see, that's Roger here riding the horse. I asked Bobby Dylan. I asked the Beatles. I asked Timothy Leary, and he couldn't help me either. They call me the Seeker. I've been searching low and high. Right? Exactly, right? Won't get to get what I'm after until November the 8th, 2022, when you can vote for it. There you go. That's good?
Yeah, that's a good
reference. That's what I mean. I mean, they wrote songs about how illicit it would be and how it would always stay illicit and whatever. Right. And it's not. It's not in this state. And I just found that to be a weird part of aging, that I'm holding a pen to vote on making weed legal after 54 years in my lifetime of starting with, it'll turn your eyes green, you'll murder people, right?
Well, you talk about music reference. Both of my sons are in their 20s. And, it used to be, like right now, people are talking about mental illness. They're coming out. They're talking about things. And now people are openly talking about, you know, they're smoking and all this stuff. And you'll find a nugget of someone who you're like, oh my God, do you realize that so-and-so, came out and said they smoke? And we would reference Dylan by saying, everybody must get stoned. And we do that to this day. You know, if someone just comes out, it's just a text. It's a picture of whoever, is open enough to say it. And we're like, it's like casual. Yeah, everybody must get stoned. I mean, it's a thing.
I just think about like my father who died in 1992. If I would, go back to say to my father, one day weed will be legal. No way. He just probably couldn't comprehend it. It's kind of hard for me to comprehend at 54. It is kind of weird, right?
Well, my mom's 80 and we talk about it openly and the medicinal side and, for anxiety and explaining it. And she's open-minded and she gets it. I've had discussions recently, out west. You know it's going to happen here, but psilocybin from mushrooms is legal in Oregon, and I think it may be legal in California. And in Hopkins, they're doing studies for people who are addicted, who are smokers. They're doing studies for people who are terminally ill and are going to die, and the benefits of psilocybin and you.
Well, PTSD as well with psilocybin in a big way. I mean, I did a whole segment on that at the Super Bowl with the NFL quarterbacks, Jake Plummer, and obviously Aaron Rodgers, he's not playing well. So it must have been the ayahuasca trip he was on back in June or whatever. Right. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's not high on anything other than life at this point. He's at Web Connection. He's our outsourced chief digital officer. You can go out to BaltimorePositive.com and see him. I got your picture up on the website now. I got to fix everything else around it, but you can go find Mike out there. On the backside of the election, right? Like, this is weird. Election bye week this week, right? Like, we're going into a little bit of a slowdown here before we get the pumpkin pie and the turkey and all that stuff out. But it's been a fun football season, right? I mean, it's 6-3. You look at this is a fun season. This is as good as it gets at 6-3, where you have a lousy schedule and you feel like you're having health come your way and you pick up a linebacker, right?
It's nice to stack wins. And it's nice to go into the bye week feeling good. You know, because this is your business, how uncomfortable it is having an ugly loss and having to wait 2 weeks to deal with that. Going in with stacking three wins has got to feel good. It makes me feel good. I'm actually strategically scheduled a vacation during the bye week so that I wouldn't miss anything. So that's gonna be great. This happens to be my favorite time of the year. I don't love when it gets cold, but I love the football into Thanksgiving vibe into the holiday season and Christmas up until New Year's. Then I can't wait for opening day. There's like a lull. I love college basketball, but yeah, the Ravens are feeling good. It feels to me like the pain of last year and all the injuries, and I'm seeing other teams suffering through it a lot worse than we are. It's good to see Drake being able to run the ball while we wait for Dobbins to get healthy again. I mean, it seems like
I think Edwards is going to be huge. I mean, I think Edwards is going to be the if they win the Super Bowl, literally, it will be with Edwards in the fourth quarter chewing up clock in Arizona when they're beating the Falcons, whoever they're going to beat.
Absolutely. Having, that streak, which I think they're one away from tying the record of 10 games in a row with 10 plus point leads, knowing that you have a guy who every time he's going to touch the ball is going to get 5 yards a minute or so every possession. That's going to be tremendous. I'm hoping that he's going to be good the rest of the way. I think our Thursday night into the next Monday night into the bye was a gift from the heavens to allow everyone to get healthy. So I'm excited, if you can't tell by my voice.
Well, problem is one game in 23 days. There's not, there's just, it's Tom Petty. It's like the waiting is the hardest part here, but Certainly getting everybody healthy, getting Mark Andrews back is going to be important, and trying to figure out who they're going to throw the football to. I mean, Luke and I argue about this all the time. I don't think they really want to throw the football. I don't think they should want to throw the football. I've said that for years. For 3 years now, I'm like, I saw them run the football. It's nice when they can throw, but the notion that they're ever going to throw it a lot, why would they? That would only mean they're failing at this point. And I'm even convinced that they fell behind 10 points or 12 points or 14 points, that they would be better served running themselves back into a game that way than trying to throw themselves into a game that way.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think we're, I'm looking now, I think we're not including tiebreakers. We're one game out of the discussion of home field. Don't get me wrong. We got a long ways to go.
We also have an easier schedule, than Buffalo, Cincinnati, than Kansas City, than the teams that we're going to be playing around with.
Right. So now you got to win your games. And oh, by the way, we also have a one game lead over the Bengals. So I mean, that's not very comfortable. We have the tiebreaker, but we have to go into Cincinnati the last game. So, but their schedule looks brutal.
And they don't have their wide receiver right now, which is a big difference for them.
Right.
For us.
That's correct. You knock on wood and hope to stay healthy. But yeah, these are fun times. I have one follow-up from the last conversation we had. You know how my brain works. I flip-flop and go all over the place. But I think last conversation we had, I said, I want to start a thing. I want to identify the people who in my network and social circles who are Baltimore negative, to use the exact opposite of your brand, who don't want to go downtown because they feel uncomfortable, because they don't feel they need to. And I said that I wanted to find a person and take them downtown and try to show them an experience counter to what they think it is. And I did that. I have a buddy of mine. Our dogs are best friends. They came from the same breeder. And they had a dog show or dog event at Patterson Park. This was not this Saturday, but the Saturday before. It was 70 degrees.
Oh, perfect.
Beautiful.
Dude.
The dogs were wearing Halloween, every dog was wearing a Halloween outfit, and it was mobbed. And I'm like, do you want to go? And he didn't hesitate. He's like, sure. I said, I'll drive. Let's go. So we get in our car, drive down 83. And of course, at the very end is what one of the reasons they didn't want to go. The squeegee kids were out there. Guy comes to my car. I normally have money, didn't have money in the car. I said, no, thank you. He kept going. No, thank you. And then he finally got the message, cleaned it up and left. But at the next intersection, I had someone pointing to my car, and they're pointing my car. I'm like, did someone mess with my car at that intersection? So I get out, and the guy basically opened I have a hybrid where the plug is, so it's basically like the gas cap thing. He opened that since I said no. So my guy in the car says, see, this is one of the reasons I don't want to come to the city. I said, look, just take a deep breath. I wish we didn't have to deal with that, but we haven't even had our experience yet. So we went to the park. Dogs were hanging out. Dogs were happy. A little beer garden. They had a lot of food trucks, long lines. So we looked at each other, just like, let's find a place to go and sit outside. So we went to Nacho Mama's, went to Canton, sat out. They still have the outdoor COVID.
Elvis is still there.
Yes. So sat out there, had a drink. Dogs were great. And then he's like, you know what I haven't had forever? Matthew's Pizza. So we called and ordered a Matthew's Pizza. He carried it home. We're driving back up 83 North. I said, so, yeah, you had a squeegee incident, but did you have a positive experience in Baltimore? He said, absolutely. So maybe I converted one person.
Hey, man, let's bring him back.
Everyone do that to one person. We'll help the city out.
I love your idea. Mike Rosenfeld, he's our pal. He's our chief digital officer here at Baltimore Positive. If you need anything done on the web, you hear Mike's voice out on the radio station all the time. You can now find him and his good-looking mug out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.